Fan Show, Thursday, 7 p.m. on CJSF 90.1 FM with your host, DJ Medi. Hey, that's me. We'll be interviewing fans, musicians from all genres and all languages, and other talents too, like photographers and videographers. We'll check out local businesses, cheap eats, and yummy treats. And also events that are happening or not happening around town. And places to go and get some fresh air. Go for a walk. And places that are still open and you can go for a shop. Although we focus on East Van, we'll be making friends everywhere and anywhere. Hi! We'll chat with skateboarders, athletes, dancers, artists, chefs, bakers, tailors, comedians, hey, you name it, we want it. See a familiar face or a familiar place right here on the Wham Bam East Van Show. And welcome to the Wham Bam East Van Show. I'm your host, DJ Medi, and we're broadcasting from Simon Fraser University on unceded Coast Salish territory in beautiful Burnaby, BC, which includes the Squamish, the Musqueam, the Coquitlam, the Catsey, and the Tsleil-Waututh Nations. All right, today we have a special guest, but before we get to them, who are my co-hosts?
This is John the House, and I'm back in the saddle again with our special co-host.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike Hales. How you guys doing?
Woohoo!
It's great to be back here again.
Yes, I know Mike was trying to get here on a previous show, but...
I was under the weather.
He was under the weather. He didn't want to get everyone else sick, so he says he's going to cancel. So welcome back, Mikey.
It's good to be here.
Yes, all right. And who are our special guests?
Our special guest today is James Ray Daly.
And we're going to call him JR.
JR. He's actually a real jockey from Vancouver Exposition Park.
Yeah.
And Hastings Park, and a long-term jockey. Also, he plays in a band called Liquid Blue.
Yes, I do.
And they play covers from the all eras, 80s, 90s. Anything you want, they'll play it.
All right. JR, please introduce yourself to the world.
Well, it's all nice to meet you, Vancouver. It's really a pleasure. I'm glad to be here supporting local live music. I think it's a very important thing, and get to know the people that really make live music.
Yes, and you're going to tell me a little bit about your band and also your bandmates.
Yeah, I got a four-piece band called Liquid Blue, and we're a classic rock band. We do everything from Aerosmith to David Bowie, all the classics. I got a really good singer named Johnny Diamond, and between me and him, we split the songs up, and I got a bass player named Mike. We call him the Wizard.
Hey.
Yeah. You like Mike?
That's always a good name, you know.
And then I got Tony on drums. We've been together about a year and a half, and it's we're playing a lot of shows now and starting to get some recognition.
And we also have a special guest, folks. Ooh, it's a mystery. Who can it be? Introduce yourself, mystery guest.
Hi, my name is Melanie. If you're watching the Junos, apparently all my friends are like, is that you on TV? Because I was right front and center. So if you know my face on radio, it's because you saw the Junos. So anyway, I'm just here to support JR and the band, and I'll tell you more about that later. But happy to be here.
Welcome to CJSF, Melanie. Woohoo! All right. JR is also a jockey, not a disc jockey, but a horse racing jockey. Yeah. And you're going to tell me a little bit about that. And how did it all start?
Well, we like to be called riders. There's lots of jockeys. It's one thing to jump on a horse and ride once around, but to make a living at it and set your tack down and make a living wherever you go, my dad said that's a rider. Like anybody that builds a house, they can build a house anywhere, you know. And so I was very lucky. I grew up in a jockey family. My brother, my dad was a very famous rider here in Canada, but so was my brothers, my little brother and my older brother. And I rode here in Vancouver. I rode the best horse in Vancouver in 1991. Guy bought him for $1,000 and made a million. And the one thing I really liked about the horse was he called him Twanger. Twang, like twang the guitar.
Twanger, like what string was he?
Yeah, yeah, he was all the strings. I mean, he nobody wanted to run against him. He was so good. And the guy bought it. His wife kicked him out of the house and everything because he spent his last $1,000 and ended up being the best horse in Canada for 3 or 4 years. I think all the way till he was 5 years old, nobody beat him. And and so I've been lucky. I started riding in Kentucky and Ohio and... But I always come back to Vancouver, not because I really did really as well as I could have if I'd stayed at the races, but, to ride with your family, you know, especially now in my life, means everything. It's more than any wind pitcher I ever had at Churchill Downs or anywhere. The pitchers are special to me, the ones that are with my brothers and my dad.
Amazing. And you're also an artist.
Yes, I am.
Yes.
I never picked a pencil up till I was 27. I thought everybody could draw. But I was lucky enough when I was hurt and I couldn't walk, I did some drawing. And it looks like, you know, I do well at it. I'm in a couple galleries and got a few things like that. I love to draw. It takes my mind away from things. And I'm lucky I can do it.
Oh, fantastic. And I noticed it's mostly people, and you also do animals?
Yeah, a lot of my art, other there's some like this one's of a lady's house in Florida, and I do commissions, but not a lot. When I draw my own, I see a photograph and I just dig it, especially of like John Lennon. And this is a very special picture to me because of the Twin Towers, and this is the gun that killed him, and he's surrounding his own words. I was at the Kentucky Derby when this horse win, and Mike Smith, who rode the horse, signed it, plus the trainer and the owner. You know, these are the kind of moments you like to take. Nowadays, you take pictures. But I was lucky. I'd go home and I'd draw it.
And
that,
memory.
To me, is a moment forever.
Oh, wow.
That's really cool, too, because you really put, like, your own... your own interpretation of what you're from your memory, also from like your experience there. So you put your own kind of, looks like you kind of put your own color, your own feeling into it.
I'm not a taught artist. I thought everybody could draw. I didn't really realize it until I was 27. And then realized I had a talent for it. And there's something special about doing a picture for somebody and the look on their face when they really get it, when they look at it. That's worth more than money. Just like riding horses, you know, I got a ton of wind pitchers, but you can't make soup out of them, you know.
Yeah, right.
So they better mean something more than money, right?
Well, most definitely. Well, if you look at this one here, we got this one of the horse.
That's Justified.
Justified.
And he went to 2018 Kentucky Derby. He went a Triple Crown. He went Derby, there's three of them, the Preakness and the Belmont. And that was the stall he was in. And I was actually, a girl I was living with at the time, she was a very good photographer. We went down there and I was galloping horses down at Churchill. And we went down there and she took photos of him and I got to meet him. And Mike Smith, the rider, was a friend of mine. And it was a really special moment, even though it rained so hard that year, and he still won. He's a phenomenal horse.
All right, we're going to get back to the music, and we're going to play one of your songs. It's a cover, Let's Dance.
Oh,
so that's
yes.
A Bowie one.
Bowie.
Yes. Is that, who gets to pick the songs when you play in the band?
Well, we go with, like I told Johnny, my other singer, you know, whatever fits his voice, I'll learn anything as long as it's good. I don't mind taking the time to learn the guitar parts and vice versa. You know, I do most of the guitar playing in the band, but Johnny's a really good performer. He stands out there, you know, he's a rock star. I'm just a guitar player, you know, and I like that. But the songs he picks, they're worth working out because he sings, he puts a lot of passion into it, and that makes the songs better.
Fantastic. Right here on CJSF.
Let's dance. Put on your red shoes and dance.
Let's dance, baby.
That was fantastic.
Yeah, it was done by phone, so it's not the best recording, guys, but yeah, there it is.
All right. And then, John, you got a list of where they're playing.
Yeah, Liquid Blue, if you like that music, they'll be at the Buccaneer Pub out in Steveson Hotel in Richmond on Saturday, April the 5th.
And we'll be one of the last bands, John, to play there. They're closing after, I think,
really? Oh, that's a shame.
300 years that bar have been open.
They've been open for a long time.
Very lucky to be at least do one.
That's too bad. And then on April 11th, you're playing at the 100 Club. Where's the 100
Club? That's on the Army and Navy on Kingsway.
Okay.
Really good spot. They have a great jam on Monday nights there. So all you musicians, you want to go out and play, get out there and lots of good musicians to play with.
Then on April 25th, you're playing at the Princeton Pub.
Yeah, East Van.
That's their favorite.
This is my town, right?
Yeah, that's
I'm an East Van guy. I grew up here. I went to Templeton.
Oh, yeah.
My dad went to Templeton.
Rode the racetrack here.
The Princeton Pub is a favorite of a lot of bands, including Rock Voodoo, the band that I work with.
Right.
They're playing there on, I don't know the date anyways.
But good
man. And then May 16th, you're at the Brownsville underneath the bridge.
Under the bridge in Surrey.
Yeah.
We played there a lot, and then we kind of started back playing there again. It's our first gig back there. It is another good spot. I think they're building a stage and everything in there now.
Oh, about time.
They need that, yes.
Then on June 27th, you're back at the Princeton Pub again. So that's going to be a great show.
Well, we do a lot more shows than that, but that's the ones that I sent to you. Because
And July 5th, you're at the West Beach Bar and Grill.
Yeah,
in my part of the world. I'll probably come and see you at that.
It'll be a good
July
time.
5th? Oh,
you're probably playing, John.
I'll also have, I booked bands now, so I might have a band playing on that day at the
You can sneak off.
The
it's
Club
just
240.
Down the hill and back up the hill, right?
Anyway, so is there any other gigs you're going to be playing at?
We do a lot of clubs. We got some new clubs coming up, but we love the Ivanhoe. It's another good spot.
Yeah.
We're playing juniors on Commercial, another good spot. And we do a lot of Legions. We do the 142 out in Kitsilano. And I want to pass along Diane, who booked us there, passed away suddenly two days ago. Mm. Yeah, very sad. We did New Year's there and had a great time. It's another really classic, Legion to go to. Big and open. Great stage.
Well, that's about it for the John and the House's entertainment file this week. Linda?
Yeah, okay. No, I got some more questions about the horse racing, because I love to go catch the horse races, especially when the wiener dog races.
Yeah.
OMG. Yeah, so I get to watch the horses and the wiener dogs, and they're rocking around all over the place.
That's one animal I can say I'm too big to ride.
Right. And then let's talk about, like, when you're riding, is there a certain weight you have to be to
be
a
there is. The weights have gone up over the years, but when I was riding at my best in the 80s and 90s, you had to diet hard. I mean, I would sit, I'd have 5,000 in my pocket, and my agent would hand me a drink with a carrot in it. Ride the next day. So the dieting was a big part of it, but that just comes with the game. That's just what you had to do. The actual riding the horses was special, and I was lucky, like I said, to ride with my family. So for me, it was, I didn't like riding just for the sake of making a living. I just didn't. I liked to ride, and took me a lot of places. I met some really cool people in my life in so many different states I've rode at. And to me, the things I've done riding were more important than how much money I made or how many races I won. And I got to luckily to be one of the top quarter horse riders in Canada, and I rode a lot of quarter horses, different style of riding.
How do you like to show up with the girls and show up with a broken arm at school the next day?
Oh, so I did that. Cool. And a wind pitcher. Broken arm and a wind pitcher. But I was lucky. I rode an ostrich once, and I rode a
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it didn't last long there. And I rode a camel, and I rode I got to be on the back of a standardbred in a buggy, which was really different, just doing their exhibition races. But I like to ride anything but the fence. You got to get out there and do things.
Oh, absolutely. You ever get out through Cloverdale to ride the...
I do. There's a lot of friends out there. I don't drive horses. I'm not that kind of a rider. But I know a lot of people from Hastings that have gone out there since Hastings kind of... that still live in B.C. and still horse people, and they need good horse people because it used to be one of the best in Canada was B.C. racing.
Oh, yeah, it was a crown jewel. Of
yeah, but they didn't... You know, when Jack Diamond owned it, he had it at the top of the game, and the guys that took over after he died, and his family did, you know, sell out a lot. But Lansdowne would have been a hell of a racetrack. It would have been a mile track. We would have had some of the better horses on the West Coast, from Santa Anita up, Seattle including, that would have been big-time racing. But you can't run, you know, $100,000 horses on a 5/8 mile racetrack. You're going to hurt them.
Yeah.
You're going too fast into them turns. So it's only really made for a certain type of horse, and they should have built a mile track. You know, I'm really disappointed in that because I like seeing horse racing go. At one time, there was actually a racetrack in almost every town. I rode up country. I had a son, and he was born in Vernon, so I moved up there, bought a place, and rode them bush tracks, and I learned how to ride quarter horses because I wanted to be around my dad, my kid, and stuff like that. So, you know, but Vancouver should have been bigger.
I've got a question. What's the difference between a quarter horse and a thoroughbred?
Well, a thoroughbred goes a further distance. A quarter horse is a quarter mile. They rarely run over 440 yards.
Mm-hmm.
They will go 780, where they'll mix the fastest thoroughbreds against the slowest quarter horses, basically, and that they will make races like that. But total different style of riding, how you come out of the gates on them. You only go bam, bam, bam. It's very fast. Whereas in thoroughbreds, you rate them. You only got one horsepower, so you got it. Whether you rate them on the front end or they come from off the pace from the back of the field, they do rate, and you got to save that horsepower, make them relax, and give you a little kick in the end. You know.
Oh, so they have enough energy to finish.
Yeah, where it is, and that's the key to being a jockey is how to make a horse settle down. Overcome diversity as quick as you can because every step something happens. You know, the horse goes this way, you got to go that way. And every time you move your horse, you're using energy, which is horsepower.
I got a question too. When you riding horses too, do you stay with the same horse for a while or do you?
No, we have an agent. At one time when I was riding in Ohio, I had three agents because I was riding so many different states. I'd ride in the daytime in Cleveland and go down and ride at West Virginia or Commodore Downs. And a lot of riders do that back east because they're so close, them states. There's a lot more riding than there is in Canada. In Vancouver, if you don't do good the first week you're here or tracks in Canada, you have a hard time. You know, everybody, you know, they'll get down on you fast. So you got to, you know, you win races and, yeah.
All right. We'll be back with more JR after the break.
Listen to music and podcasts from CGSF 90.1 FM with our radio app. It's on-the-go listening made easy. You can tune into all our music, spoken word, and multicultural shows using your device. Our app lets you set reminders so you'll never miss your favorite show again. Stay connected to CGSF 90.1 FM through our community radio app. Download the app from the Apple Store or get it on Google Play.
Tune in to Intravenous on Wednesdays from 10 to 11 a.m. for music and talk radio about all things, all genders. Discussing and approaching contemporary gender issues through an intersectional feminist lens, our goal is to educate, engage, and challenge the dominant hegemony. Intravenous, every Wednesday morning from 10 to 11, only on CJSF 90.1 FM. Diverse, independent, yours.
Yeah, and that was Robin's voice on the radio, and she is stepping down from the CJSF programmer, so we wish her well. CJSF, we love to promote female artists here on the radio. Yeah, John, you've got a female artist that you know.
Our next female artist, Canadian professional singer, songwriter, actress, author, Evelyn Kay. She has some music out there. Go check it out on all platforms. And we're going to just play her song called Gotta Get It Girl. For all those women out there, you've got to get it. Girl.
That was Gotta Get It Girl. EVK. EVK. Awesome. And talking about getting it girl, Melanie's got it going on because she went to the Junos.
Yeah, I was a very, very lucky guest of a friend of mine who happens to know the owner of StubHub. And they slapped a wristband on me. The next thing I know, we're getting past this guard and this barrier and keep on waving me down. Next thing I know, I'm standing next to the stage. And I was so blown away by the production value of this show. I really wish I had higher expectations of what I, you know, of the show in entire. But just performer after performer and award after award, and I couldn't name a favorite. I want to listen to Punjabi music after that. I want to listen to, you know, indigenous music after that. I want to listen to everybody after that. And, of course, Sum 41 had their last show ever, and they killed it. They slayed it. It was fantastic. And confetti flying and, you know. It was just, I was very, very proud to come away as a Canadian from that show.
Wow. And so, then Michael Bublé, right?
Oh, he was, of course, Michael, yes. And his wife, Luis Ana Lopilato. And I know her name because I was in the movie distribution business for a while, too. And she's in a movie I was distributing. And she's from Argentina. So I was trying to get South American interest, you know, from that. So, but anyway, back to the Canadian music. It was incredible.
Yes.
You're at the March 30th award show? The Junos?
No.
But at the Junos, too, at the Singer-Songwriter Circle.
Oh, no, I didn't. I went to the Commodore after, and with Jim Cuddy and,
that was pretty interesting.
And Barney Bentall. That was
fun. Yeah.
Barney Bentall?
Yeah, he showed up.
But the Canadian singer-songwriter circle was pretty interesting. They had Sarah Harmer. She's a well-known Vancouver.
She got a special
And then
award,
they had this other artist who actually wrote the hit song for Beyonce, Texas Hold'em song.
She
actually wrote it for her. And they had some other really interesting musicians. A man and then a guy who played really really good nice piano player, R&B guy. But yeah, it was interesting. We were sitting right behind the sound person, so we got perfect sound.
Oh, that's
right.
Cool.
And
that's cool.
It was great. A great experience. Yeah,
I've never been to the Junos. I wish I could do it again.
Yeah.
So, JR, I know you're like in a rock band. Do you play any other genres?
Yeah, you know, I really... it is just about what we're going to do next. I'm working with Cubase, so I'm really into recording online and getting into that. It isn't so much about what I want to do, it's how you collaborate with other people. You know, that's what I want to do.
Yeah.
Write music. I'm so tired of, not tired, but I played everybody's song. You know, so many great songs, but after a while you really like to put your own out there. And lately we've been getting asked, do you have an original? You know, and I've never been asked that before. At one time, we did when I was in Ohio and quit riding and did my first venture into music, we did really good, and we went to Cleveland, did the Rock Hard Cafe, and I had a killer singer. This guy could really sing. In fact, we got one song on our YouTube called Times Like These. You should give the guy a listen. I mean, he just had a voice, but he had schizophrenia. And he really went off the deep end and ended up, you know, killing himself. He ended up hanging himself. And so I went back to riding horses. I just went, I can't deal with music anymore. So this is kind of went full circle with me. And I know if you want to make any money and you want to play music, you got to get out there and play clubs. That keeps other musicians interested if they're making money. So if they're making money, even though it ain't a lot being in a, you know, in a classic rock band, you got to play a lot. But you really get to know each other. So when you do finally sit down and pen something, you know it's going to be liquid blue. And that's, hopefully that's what's going to happen next.
All right. And then did you help pick that name, Liquid Blue?
Actually, I wrote the name years ago when I had a band here in Canada. We played the Vanderhoof Rock Festival, and I opened for Tom Lavin from the Powder Blues.
Yes.
And we opened for Loverboy, and I got lucky and met the guys from Georgia Satellite, and they helped us out a bit. And so I come up with the name Liquid Blue. But there is another band in America called Liquid Blue.
I saw
that. They're a dance band.
Mm-hmm.
They actually got hold of me when I was in Ohio and said I couldn't use a name. And I said, well, I come up with a name before you guys were even together. I did 98, and I'm reading right now, you were 2001 or something.
That's right.
He goes, yeah, but we copyrighted it in U.S. So I still use it, but I called it The Liquid Blue Band.
The Liquid Blue, okay.
Just so we don't have it. And I told him, if you ever come to Columbus, Ohio, you what, you make $10,000 a show?
Right.
Keep $5,000, and we'll do the show for you.
There you go.
He laughed at that, and he never bought to me again about it, but yeah, I always loved the name. And actually in Chilliwack we did I forget the name of the town up there in Williams Lake, and we played up there, and we had an event with the new guys I started playing with, and I said, here's three names we want to rename the band, and Liquid Blue was far the best. The whole crowd went crazy about it, so that's what it's been.
Amazing. Okay, tell me about this next song called Cry for Love.
Well, this is a Iggy Pop song, and Johnny Diamond, my other singer, sings it so good. And it was one of them songs that we could make our own, because it wasn't a number one hit or anything like that, so we could kind of put in our own two cents. So I really embellished the guitars on this a lot, and I just think it's a great song, and from a very great artist, Iggy Pop.
To see the world.
I'll have to go check out their cover band one of these days. In their first set, they usually play ZZ Top, Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Iggy Pop, Bowie, Jack White, the Rolling Stones.
Who are they?
Stone Temple Pilots, is it?
Yeah.
Black Crowes and Cheap Trick.
Nice.
So if you like those bands, you'll have to go out and see Liquid Blue at the next show coming up.
Thank you.
Can you really rip some of Stevie Ray Vaughan's solos?
You know, I can. I fake it pretty good.
Yeah.
Nobody's as good as Stevie Ray.
He was a god. Yeah.
But I can fake it good enough, and I love playing the blues. There's just not a lot of money in it, unless you know, there's so many good blues players, especially in Vancouver. It would be hard to get into a club. It's so one directional. With a classic rock band, you know, you get a lot of work.
Yeah, you can. Well, you can play anything really with classic rock. It covers such a huge, amount of ground, right? So,
absolutely. What's considered classic rock these days? Hits from the 90s? Is that 25 years ago?
2000s. 2000s are like 25 years ago now.
Yeah.
I mean, how many can you tell me who was the number one hit last year?
No.
Taylor Swift.
Right.
You say that, I'm saying the song. I mean, name a song that was a big hit, like we could say about Tom Petty or, Ozzy Osbourne or anybody, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's really there's so much music out there now. It's very entwined. You can listen to what you want without any radio station, and that's what's really changed things.
All right, so for some of you who know that Mike is also in a band, and tell everyone about it.
Well, everybody, I like to say that I am in Saints of Death. I am the bass player of Saints of Death, and we're a band who's spreading worldwide, and we're doing what we can to get the word out. And it's a fantastic metal band: two basses, screaming guitars, heavy drums, and it's an amazing band. I've been with them now for, holy cow, I guess it's about almost 3 years now, actually, come to think of it. And you know, love playing with these guys. You know, playing with Twan Holiday, and we have a new guitar player, Ash, and we also found a drummer named Ryder, and he's a great little kid too. And but anyway, we're putting it together. We're putting the band together, man, and it's a lot of fun, and it's heavy, and it's aggressive, but it's a very positive vibe, that band. And I'm so proud to be part of it. And I think we got a song or something like that, don't we?
Yes, tell me about Revolution.
Revolution. Well, Revolution speaks for itself. Listen to the lyrics. Listen to the song. It says a lot, especially in this day and age. It's a perfect time now for this kind of song. So here it is, Saints of Death's Revolution.
And we're back. All right. Let's go. Let's talk about the races again, because I love them so much. And I really like the names of the horses. Like, they're so fun. Yeah. So do you have, like, a favorite?
Well, like I was saying, the best horse that I rode in Canada. I rode a lot of good horses down in the States, but the one in Canada, his name was Twanger.
Twanger.
And the guy that owned him, we were friends with for a lot of years, my dad, and that's how I got on the horse. And he named it because he loved country music.
Mm.
He was very much about that. So, and then the horse went on, you know, he paid $1,000, Cinderella story completely, and went on to make $1 million, you know. I mean, his wife kicked him out of the house and everything until the horse started winning, and she moved him back in. The new house that he just built.
Right.
With the money the horse earned. Yeah.
How about you guys? Have you guys gone to the derbies? And I don't know, like, do you dress up? Have you been to one of those fancy ones?
Well, I've been a horse girl my whole life.
Yes. Right?
So that's how I came to the race track because it's where boys meet horses. I'm like, oh, okay, this is the place for me. Mm-hmm. But my favorite horse of all time is Secretariat, no doubt.
Yeah. Secretariat, yeah, okay. I don't know. How about you guys? Do you have a favorite horse name, or if you can think of one to just make up?
Well, it's Black Beauty. And,
Black Beauty, yeah.
You know, from, you know, literary fame. But
yes.
I don't know. There's High Hole Silver. I don't know.
John?
Well, I can't think of any. There was this famous kid. I remember I was talking to Ray, and the horse that he was on was owned by... do you want to tell that story, Ray? The one about the horse that you rode? It won for the man who had that company in Vancouver.
Oh, Hunky Bill.
Yeah.
Hunky Bill!
I like his horse.
What's Hunky
his horse?
Bill was quite the character. And
I
went 2 races in 1 day for him, and I went on the horse called Hunky Bill. And he's one of the first characters that, and I've known him all my life, and his kid trained. And anyway, I rode another horse for him in the last race the same day I went on Hunky Bill. And he said, what do you think about this one? I said, just like the first one, we're going to win. And he put a $100 ticket in my boot. He said, I thought so. And that, he's one of the first guys in Canada. In the United States, they do that, but not in Canada very often. But he's the first guy. He said, I thought so. And he already had the ticket bought, and he put it in my boot, and we win. He paid like $30 to win. We made money that day.
Nice.
He was quite the character. I miss him.
Yes.
What was the name of the horse?
Tennessee Aaron.
Tennessee Aaron. And have you tried the Hunky Bill pierogies at the PNE?
Yes, many times. Many times. I
famous.
Used to eat with the club he had down there in, on Davies. We used to go to all the time.
Mm.
And yeah, it was quite the place.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, very
fantastic.
Much.
Yes, and every time I go, I like to, you know, there's the stats of the horses. You get like a little booklet when you go to, you know, the horse races, and then you could actually see.
Right.
But I just like to
the
pick
program.
The names.
Yeah.
I just like to, yeah. And there was one that really stood out. Bout chicka wow wow. I'm like, yes. All right. Ooh, yeah. You were saying about that you had a lot of metal in your body.
Well, I broke a lot of bones. I had a rod in my leg, and I've had pins in my arms, and, you know, I broke a lot of bones. And with that comes, you know, the one thing about riders is, you know, you worry about getting back on the horse, you know, and I knew I wasn't going to be able to ride. Like music and art, I can draw till I'm, you know, can't get out of a chair. But horse racing, I knew it was going to be only so long in my life. And luckily, you know, I win my last race. I was 62 years old.
What?
So I'm one of the oldest winningest riders in Canada. I win my first race at 14 years old in the Soyuz. So I win my first, and I win my last. And, you know, win a lot of races in between. I don't really know my records because it isn't really kept up very good on Equibase. Like, so there's a lot wrong there. So I don't really want to say more about that, but... Yeah, it's been a lifelong journey.
They say pound for pound, jockeys are the toughest athletes in the world. And here's living proof right here.
Oh, absolutely. You can tell, right? You know, like falling off the horse, like I said, getting back on the horse.
Getting back on, that's everything. You know, there ain't a rider ain't been thrown if you've rode, you know, and you're going to hit the ground. Nobody's invincible, and that ground's hard, and it will hurt you. And if you believe in yourself enough, you get back up and you're back riding races again. And I always got back up.
All right, John, tell me about this band called Dusty Pines.
Dusty Pines, it's an all-female punk rock band with Jessica Goldstein. She's the front woman, and she's actually married now and has a baby girl, I think. She must be about 3. But, yeah, we're going to listen to their song What's the name of the song?
Why'd You Make Me Do It? Why'd You Make Me Do It?
Yes. Why did you make me do it?
All right. It's all your fault.
I don't know.
All right, right here on CJSF.
You know I would have loved you forever.
Dusty Pines. Okay. All right. Any shout-outs, folks, to anyone that's listening right now?
Well, I'd like to say hi to the East End people, all my friends there at the Brighton, and we'll be at the Princeton Hotel in a couple weeks, and we hope to see you all down there. It's a great club, good venue.
Melanie?
And I'm just going to chime in and say, you guys have no clue. This is like the hardest working rock band in Vancouver. I watch them set it up. I watch them tear it down. I listen to them all the time. And it's just like, what they do is really hard. And you got to pay nothing. You come in, have a beer, listen to one of the best cover bands in the city, and just enjoy.
Love that. Love thank that. You. All right. Well, I want to thank my co-host, John in the House, and Mike Hale.
Hey. Thank you. And a shout out to Evelyn Kay.
Yes, again, we did play her song. Yeah, Gotta Get It, Girl, right?
Gotta Remember get that it, one? Girl. Yeah.
And a quick little shout out to my friends and fiends that I all know, and also the boys at Saints of Death.
Yes, Saints of Death.
Ah.
All right. Well, thank you so much, everyone, for coming on the Wham Bam
thank
East Van Show.
Us.
Yes.
Really appreciate it.
Good Wham job. Bam.
East Van.
Yeah, baby. Hey,
thank you, ma'am.
Here's Liquid Blue, Walk This Way, and Walk That Way to see their shows. All right, this is DJ Betty signing out. Bye.
This semester with CJSF, SFU's independent campus community radio station. From writing album reviews to producing video and audio, there are many ways you can volunteer remotely for CJSF.
Be the media.
I'm wondering how to start volunteering for CJSF.
Simply sign up online and go to cjsf.ca/signup or contact our volunteer coordinator, Noel, at VOL4CJSF at sfu.ca. That is vol4cjsf@sfu.ca. For more information on how to become a CJSF volunteer, as well as the latest on new volunteer orientations and volunteer opportunities at CJSF.
CJSF 90.1.
It's diverse, independent, and yours.
Hey, SFU! Getting money back for all your empty or refundable bottles and cans just got a lot easier. Just sign up for Returned Express for free. You can bag your containers, tag the bag, and drop it through the window at the new Express and Go container in the East parking lot. Return It will count your containers and credit your refunds to your online account. Learn more at returnit.ca/SFU.